gon' stop me, huh? Who gon' stop me, huh?
What's happening? Look at me fucking up already. What's up? Chapter 46. I told Vic to mute his shit, and then what I do? Come right on. First 3 seconds, my shit playing. Welcome to Be Positive Chicago Stories. Dario, D-Lou, chapter 46. It's going to be lit again. Y'all already know what time it is. Thank y'all for watching. Let's get into these world-famous news lines here. y'all, please subscribe and listen to us on all these platforms. Here you go. Apple Podcasts. Spotify, I forgot what that second one was. I was like, what the fuck logo is that? iHeartRadio, Anchor, Google Podcast. What is going on? Let it go. Yeah, it's a wrap.
Subscribe.
Rate us, like us. Jesus, this is. Yeah. I need to put the shit on the screen instead of keep doing this. You know what I mean? Like, instead of trying to remember some shit. Man, D Lou, how's it going, my man?
I'm gonna say you like units at the show.
Oh. But hey, we had his back though. We had his back. I was ready to go for him, man. Look, my man was he was zoning out.
Man, it was a sad boy winter for him,
man.
What's cracking, man? What's going on with you?
Shit, man. You know, it's another week. Another week. These shows and everything is we doing a lot.
I was about to say, bro. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. Like, honestly, so yesterday you saw I put the I think I'm probably one of the first comedians to do this. I bring it back. The upcoming show photo. and trust me, I ain't wanna do it. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't wanna do it. But from a business standpoint, I felt like it was a good thing. You know, I sat here with Sarah, I was like, look, I don't wanna do this shit. She was like, you should probably do it, you know what I mean? Because people get confused between everything that was going on. Hell, I got confused. So, yeah. it's a lot of shit.
Somebody asked me today, like, oh, it's Wednesdays? So it's Wednesdays? Is it Wednesday? I'm like, no. What are you talking about? The 25th. The 25th is a separate day in itself.
Yeah.
It's not a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, wait, you doing something Wednesday? Ain't you doing something Thursday? Yes, we got days back to back.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a lot of stuff going on back to back.
Yeah.
But that just lets you know that we got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, it's good times, man.
It's a great time, man. You know what's funny? What gets me, and again, look, I ain't nobody. You ain't got to follow my Instagram feed. I always say this in my social media. I post a shit ton. I'm probably in the 1% of posters. You know what I mean? I know I spam the shit out of all everybody's social media. I know it. I know this. I take ownership of it, y'all. So don't come to me and be like, what is this? What? What? Come on, man.
I hope somebody, Ryan always told us, Ryan, he said he gonna figure out the algorithms. So if we can figure out all type of algorithms and stuff, and I'm almost fucked that word up.
Yeah.
I said, ow, slow as hell.
Yeah, we got to fix something out. It's a lot, man. Look, we had to create another page of another Instagram page.
That's what we got a lot of. It's like Instagram pages floating around the fucking
market. It is.
When your Instagram say, hey, look, you can't log into nothing else.
Yeah.
It's too many Instagram
pages. Yeah, bruh. And it's like, I think every time we come up with something, we always had a conversation. Do we make an Instagram page just because we don't want to know? Shit. And then you like, business-wise, you're like, I mean, this is a good move. You know what I mean? But yeah, fuck.
You gotta have accounts everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, follow this, follow that.
Yeah.
It's cool. What we should do is, you know how the upcoming show thing is? We just need that, just full of Instagram.
Full of Instagram?
Yeah, just full of Instagram accounts. Like,
follow these. Follow these.
That way you won't have to say it separately or nothing.
Yeah. I feel like the pages that we got up, and God forbid I say the same thing, say it all back to back, but the Laugh Factory and the Zany shows, I mean, the Zany and the Laugh Factory shows.
You say the Zadies, my buddies.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You say you put all those. I mean, like, those have to be out. You know what I mean? Like, they have to be. You gotta have them there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think I might discontinue my page and just go through the Be Positive Production page. Fuck it.
Hey, this week. 5B,
it's
gonna start being pictures of kids popping up.
Yeah.
Parents, son, on the damn podcast page. It's like, yeah, this is my personal page.
Yeah.
We just combined the shit. We had to get rid of some.
Yeah, had to get rid of some shit. I guess I'll take the heat for this one. Shit. You know what was crazy? Well, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, we unveiled the astronaut yesterday.
Oh, yeah, man. Woo! Shout out to. Boy, shout out to Ashley. Yeah, that shit. Woo-hoo. Look, I you can say it, but I can't. I like them both. I like both the logos a lot.
I like ours better.
Yeah. No.
I can care less about Zadie.
No, you see, come on, man. I like the. Hey, look.
I'm just keeping it honest. I share your shit. I put your shit too. So hey. Listen,
I'm gonna get the Zanies one tattooed on me at some point. I'm gonna get that one tattooed with and I'm gonna change the punch clock. What's up?
Let's not do that.
Why not?
You get a B tattooed on you first before you start talking about getting the Zanies.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's gonna happen. Yeah, that's gonna happen. Yeah,
get a B, all right. Hey, at that point, I'm like, both of them. Like, you get the B first. Like, astronaut of the punch clock. Get the B first.
Yeah,
talk about the rest of this.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I love Chicago County. I love all y'all.
You know what? The cool thing is, if people pay attention to both of the logos, which we don't expect them to, the cool thing about the Zanies logo is that that background is actually the neighborhood, the buildings next to Zanies. And if people pay attention to the Laugh Factory logo, it's got the four stars, just like the Be Positive logo, and the color of the two, the little rope that tethers the astronaut. Is the Be Positive blue logo. Yeah. So, funny, nice little nod to everything we got going on. So, that's pretty dope, man. I'm excited, man. You excited for the first show? For the first Laugh Factory?
Hey, listen. We'll talk about it later as a group to get timing and stuff down. But I literally was at work, and I'm always talking to TJ. So, I got timing down, and I told, because I didn't know where we would start or how we would like kind of kick things off to kind of keep, because I know we're gonna have a certain energy in the building that night.
Yeah.
And so I want it to be like the bridge to keep the energy going from the front half to the back half.
Yeah.
Without giving people too much insight.
Yeah.
But I figured it out. I told TJ exactly what's going down. As long as we get timing good. Good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited as hell.
Yeah. It's gonna be dope, man. It's a lot of moving parts with that show, man. Like a lot of moving parts, but I think it's actually gonna work out very, very well. Very, very well.
This first show, we have some special things too for people that attend. So we already got half the ticket sold. If you don't wanna miss this one, because this one you may walk away with something that's gonna remind you of this particular show. I ain't gonna guarantee that for every other show after that. But I am gonna tell you this show will be, you'll walk away with something that'll make you say, man, 325/21 was the start, and that's when we got it cracked. So
that's fire. So, I'm excited for it. Y'all come on out, man. I mean, honestly, just come out. It's gonna be dope. A lot of things going on will be positive. Wednesday night lights, Saturday night lights. The Zanies Wednesdays after work, which is gonna be look, again, we got a liquor sponsor that actually gave us free giveaways. So during the show, we got some giveaways during the show. So man, that's lit. And then of course, Mojos. We didn't talk about Mojos because reason why we didn't talk about Mojos is it sold out before we could really get advertising going. So. yeah, so Mojos is happening. You haven't seen a lot about it. It sold, it literally sold out in 3 days. So sorry if you didn't see anything about that, but it's gonna be lit again. We're looking at a full house again, for that show. And then of course, we ended the month with, the Be Positive presents Good Vibes. So a lot of things going on. Make sure y'all follow us, and stay tuned with us. I'm telling you, we got, it's a juggling act. I think the only thing for me is, just for me, is the balancing act between the two clubs. You know, first, oh,
yeah, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But yeah. I just
we planned for it.
We did.
It's
almost, you know, before I work without thinking. You know what I'm saying? You know me, I work without thinking. I don't have to think about things. Now I gotta be. I don't have to be political. I mean, but I have to be cognizant of how I advertise and shit. And just to be respectful, you know what I'm saying? And then, and like, hey, yesterday I was a little eager. You know what I mean? I was just trying to show, I was low-key just trying to strong flex a little bit. That's all. You know what I mean? And I wasn't thinking about, damn, you know, maybe I should put a little space in between. You know, like, so.
I think it's all good, man. And you know, anything we do is always done tastefully. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always done in a tasteful manner.
Yeah.
Just because we want to keep that energy of, you know,
keep up.
Do what we do when it comes to unify and you know, bring everybody together and all that. So, you know, it's a tasteful way. You know, we are human beings, though. We get a little excited.
Yeah, right? we get a little excited. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we get a little excited, but it's an exciting time.
It's a super exciting time. D-Lu said, Good Vibes is 50% sold out. And Wednesdays After Work is 75% sold out. So get there. Get your tickets. Let's get it going. You ready for today's guest, my man? You ready for today's guest? I'm excited. I know this brother for a while now. You know what I mean? And He's a dear friend of mine and yours, and of especially Be Positive when you talk business. You know, like he's definitely a good friend there. But outside of all that shit, I love this dude, man. I'm excited to have him on here today, man. You excited?
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. Vic is that dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll just put it like that. Very simple. Vic is that dude.
Oh.
It's exciting, man, because I get to pick his brain a little bit. We get to find out his backstory, his origins for people that don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm always excited to talk to people I never got to, you know, dive into that type of conversation with. So
yes, sir.
I'm interested to hear about this book.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in the background of the show and the book combined and how you want to do that. And
yeah.
Man, if y'all don't know, Vic is on the radio station as well with his show, Why You're Basic.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about today, man.
Got a lot to talk about, man. And so what we're going to do is we're going to run the ad, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have our boy, Chapter 46, Vic, with us, y'all. Stay tuned.
Hey.
Yo, welcome back. Welcome back to Chapter 46. I guess Mr. Vic Pondy, everybody. What's up?
What's up, man?
Man, feeling good.
How you guys doing?
That little sad smile like a superstar.
I just was laughing because you guys had an ad that was also YouTube. I was like, fucking times you have to hear these guys talk, bro. These guys are everywhere. I'm like, wait, is that? That sounds like Dario again. I'm like, that's Dario's voice. He's reading that ad copy while he's also making me listen to him talk. I'm like, this is...
Hey man, gotta get
this
that.
Is some next level shit.
It's the Twilight Zone that is called Be Positive Productions, you know? So, Vic, welcome to the show, man. We appreciate you being on here, man. Thank you. We understand.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, hell yeah.
To find out I thought this podcast was going to explain all the other podcasts. I'm like, which one is it? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, this was made to start and talk about everything else we got going on. You know what I like in this podcast, too? To be honest, Darian, if you think about this, I don't know if y'all follow Marvel, but Incredible Hulk actually came out before the MCU was formed. And if, at the end of the credits, at the end of the scene, like the secret scene, Tony Stark was in that movie, but they don't count that as part of the MCU, which is weird. Kind of like this podcast, this came before Be Positive Productions. So technically, this is not a Be Positive production, technically.
Leave it to you to, like, just even think of that.
I'm just saying.
Him to find a framework he can fit this shit in. Let me find an analogy in the world that can kind of make my what I'm doing, because you're doing so much shit. Can I kind of make it fit?
Hey, it worked though. It worked.
It worked. You're right. I'm like, hey, I understood that perfectly. Like, I get it now.
Vic, we know who you are, man, but, you know, if we got some listeners that don't know who you are, go ahead and drop some knowledge on them.
Yeah, man, I'm a Chicago-based stand-up comedian, actor, writer, author at this point. I've added a few things, but comic is here and everything else is kind of up to it. I've been doing stand-up for close to 6 years now, started in Chicago and I tour the country doing stand-up. I started a company here called T-Must Comedy, and we produce a bunch of shows. We do corporate events, private events. We have a few standing shows that happen. Once Live comes back, we'll be back too. It's me, Tyler Fowler, Megan Dirty, and we kind of created the shows to highlight diverse performers, and we're the only people who really run shows downtown. So we were kind of saw that as our niche. We're all kind of in the 9-to-5 world, and we're like, let's create shows that are for people who, you know, work downtown, who have this like this young kind of energy, and we started creating these really fun shows, and it just kind of grew from there. So what you guys are doing is cool because it reminds me of what we were doing and just starting all these shows and getting involved in all these other things. We filmed a special together, had an album debut number one on iTunes. Yep. And like just kind of grew it from there. But now really what I've been pivoting in is just doing a lot of like all the other parts of comedy besides stand-up. So tweeting, making comedy sketches, acting. I debuted in this web series called Code Switched. Yep. As a lead in the show, which was awesome. And so getting my feet in that. So I'm just trying to basically branch out. But everything is kind of rooted in stand-up. Work all the clubs in Chicago and just love stand-up. Is like, if I had to pick all those things, I'm like, if I couldn't do stand-up, none of the other things would happen. So that's kind of who I am in a nutshell.
Man. Literally, jack of all trades. You're right, man. Like our, you know, listen to your story, Team Us, is literally the story of Be Positive. It's like how we model ourselves, whether it's conscious or not. It's literally the same path. The album, the shows, you know, branching out, doing other things. And at our core, comedy is the basis, you know. So a lot of similarities, man. Won't you talk to us about kind of like the start. How I know D. Lou is probably going. How did you get started, man? How did you go in comedy, man? Like what started Vic?
Yeah. No, it was interesting because I like have always been fascinated with stand up and comedy, but I didn't really. I don't know if it's because growing up as like an Indian kid, I just didn't see it as like a career. I was just like, oh, this is something that some people do, but I didn't know I could ever do it. And it like I didn't realize because when you look at comedy on screen, you're seeing it at the highest level, right? You're seeing like a Netflix special, a Comedy Central special. Mm. You're not seeing the open mics, the independent shows. So you don't realize there's this like, you know, training ground and there's this kind of leveling up. You just think it's like, you got it, you're on TV. Like you don't realize there's all these other things that go on.
Yeah.
And like the club shows, like I didn't go to see stand up really. I would watch it. I would just never go.
Right.
And then once I, you know, hit college, I was basically trying to graduate early and I had to fill credit. So someone's like, hey, take this class. It's called Performance. I went to DePaul.
Wow. You know
how bad they label classes at DePaul. They're just like, it's called Performance 190. It ended up being an improv class.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even know, but I take this improv class and it was super fun. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is like really something that I found it like, it awoke something in me where I was like, this is dope. Because I was a finance major. I was doing boring shit all day. So I was like, this is something entertaining. This is different. And then I kind of thought back to all the comedy that I've been consuming, and I'm like, this would be cool to do this more. Like, I want to keep doing this, and I want to do stand-up. So then after I started working my first job, I went to an open mic at Shuba's.
Oh, wow.
And I had just seen, what's it called? It's called, like, The Underground or something with Dave Attell. He had released this, like, Comedy Central, like, series of stand-ups. And Junior Stopka, one of these, the Chicago comic, was on the show. So I had known who Junior was because I just had seen him on Dave Attell. And then at the open mic, Junior shows up.
Wow.
So in my mind, I'm like, yo, Chicago comedy is lit. I'm like, people on TV stopping in. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, I'm going to make it. Like, I just had all these things in my head. I was like, this is incredible. And then everyone is going up and eating shit, like, as you do at an open mic, right? And one after another, people are bombing. I was so – that lulled me into a false sense of, like, confidence. Yeah. I was like, hey, they're all sucking. I'm going to probably suck too, but at least I'll suck at the same level. And, like, I went beneath zero.
Oh,
like,
wow. I mean, it was so bad. You went sub?
I bombed my ass off. I also dressed like I worked at Target. Like, I wore a red polo and, like, khaki pants. And I was just – it was bad, man. It was – but I kind of from that experience, I was like, oh, shit, I can't do stand-up. I got to, you know – I can't do this. Like, I'm not as funny as I thought I was. I'm not this person. And then I was like, I took a couple months off stand-up and I started taking classes at Second City for improv. Mm. And then I was like, let me just get better at that and then get comfortable enough to go do stand-up again.
Wow.
But what ended up happening is I graduated Second City's whole program and I started doing stand-up, like, really aggressively while I was doing improv. And then stand-up kind of has now taken over completely, but it was because of the improv, I think the group support, and, like, that's where I met Tyler and Meg, who also, you know, we formed Team Us shortly after that, but, like, I think it was that group that pushed me to keep doing stand-up, because I was, like, the one guy who had, like, a month of stand-up on everyone, so they're all like, man, Vic's been doing stand-up for a while, like, Vic's been doing comedy for a minute, and I'm over here, like, I think it made me, like, rise to the occasion, because they're all, like, they see me as this person, and they all come and watch me, all my, like, improv group would come and watch me go to open mics, and it's like, it's much better when you have support, obviously.
Yeah.
So that really helped me kind of get that momentum I needed. And then once I did that, and once I started getting consistent and getting over the fear of, like, you know, just got in the habit, I just attacked it. Like, I just have that personality where it's like, once I start some shit, like, I'm gonna do it. I really started hitting it hard, and we started using all the skills that we learned in business. And, like, how to make better shows, like, how to, you know, produce a better lineup, like, what are the gaps in the comedy scene, like, where are shows not happening? And we kind of started analyzing all these things. And from there, it just became, it turned into from a hobby to a career when we started making money. And I was like, oh, shit, like, this is, you know, it still wasn't, like, I'm bougie as hell. So I was like, it's not enough money.
I was like, let me
at least do this while I'm working. And now at this point, now I've been doing it enough time where I'm starting to headline, starting to do more corporate and private stuff. So I'm like, okay, now I can actually support myself to a degree.
Yeah.
But up until here, it was just been, like, straight up, just like you guys, you know, just hustling, creating shit constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I know you. And so, like, I know this, you know what I mean, about you, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's different hearing it in this capacity. You know what I'm saying? It's much different hearing it in this capacity. D. Lou.
Yeah, it's weird when you look at it and lay it all out, because you're like, comedy is one of those arts that you're so in it and so present that, like, we don't often stop and reflect on all the shit we've done and, like, all the things we've had to do, because, like, you don't have the time usually.
No.
You're, like, running from show to show. You got things producing. So, like, the pandemic kind of forced me to be like I've done some shit, and I was like, that's cool. I should take that in and you know, kind of, like, live in that a little bit and also see where I want to go and not just, like, keep, you know, like make big changes, you know, and not necessarily only look at the next day. But I think that also helped me move quickly, because I was like, let me just knock out everything in that I can immediately. Can.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think it's interesting, man, because, I mean, all three of us finished Second City Improv program, you know what I mean? And y'all went through stand-up. A lot of stand-up comedians, like, disrespect improv to some degree, man. So I'll be like, damn, like, why y'all doing that? Vic, my question for you is, do you feel like improv and stand-up kind of correlate, or what did you take from improv and carry it over to stand-up?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's anyone who sucks at hosting will say that, because I feel like an improviser, that's why Dario is a good host and I feel like I'm a good host, is because we have all the skills we've learned from improv. And that helped that helps you become conversational on stage. It helps you be in the moment. It helps you with coming up with material on the fly. Like, all those things are improv skills. Those are not stand-up skills. I mean, you can learn it through stand-up, but you have to do way more reps and fail a lot more. But you could do, like, 6 months of scene work and potentially get to that same comfort level. That's why, even though I was very new at stand-up, and I was hosting shows that we were putting on for, like, 200 people, I was, like, 6 months into stand-up.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'd be hosting these shows, and I wasn't intimidated because I was, like, doing the reps of improv. Like, I hadn't gotten to a point where I was getting the reps with stand-up yet, but I was still comfortable on stage and had the confidence. Because you can deliver terrible jokes with confidence,
oh,
and
yeah.
It seems, some of them will go, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, the improv stuff really helped me get comfortable on stage. So I don't understand when people shit on it, because I think it's just people not burying themselves as a performer, you know? And, like, for me, it's just another tool, you know?
Yeah.
So why not be able to have this tool in addition to stand-up? Like, I can write jokes, I can also... And that's the thing, they serve each other. In improv, I'm the guy who's coming out doing sex with me because I always have a line ready
because
of stand-up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm the guy who's using both interchangeably. I'm actually, like, kind of bummed because the last year, usually what I was doing, I wasn't able to do really improv shows as much anymore because I'm doing so much stand-up, but I was still rehearsing a couple times a month. We had our own coach. Our team is stuck together since Second City. So that kind of gave me that muscle, kept it sharp. You know? But I haven't done that in a year. So I'm actually want to get back to that because I feel like it's helped me a lot in stand-up. And I don't want to lose that skill. I think it also helps in acting. It helps in, like, all sorts of situations. I mean, if you're going on auditions, they'll always ask you, hey, improvise a line. And you're a stand-up. You're like, there's a joke. Let me tell you about my day. My day was rough. It's like, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like, tell me about a scene in the moment, you know? So... people who make fun of it. Also, another selfish side note, in Chicago, we have so many improv shows going on that as a stand-up, you have the opportunity to open for so many improv teams and to perform on their shows.
Yes.
So you're like tripling your reps if you open yourself up to that world. So that's why people who make fun of it, it's like, well, I guess you don't like shows, you know, like, I don't know what, you're just not going to work at any of these shows.
Man, I know what D. Lou is thinking. But you hit every nail, right? Like, I agree with everything you said, man. Like, they go hand in hand. I mean, honestly, I don't think I'd be the stand-up comedian I am without improvising, you know. So, and definitely the host. I would not be the host I am without improv. You know, like, that's for damn sure. I mean, like, I could handle anything thrown at me. You know what I mean? Like, so it's cool, man. I want to say, so, like, because we kind of mirror each other, man, when it comes after, you know, you did stand up and then did the improv. My question is how soon, because I know you jumped kind of on the scene, how soon did Team Us come after improv?
I think Team Us, basically, I'm trying to think when we actually produced our first show. I think it was around the time we graduated Second City. So this is, like, 2015. So we produced you know, we did Second City's program, takes about 8 months to a year.
Yep.
And so towards the end of that, we were like, let's run. We have this improv group. We're like, we want to do a show for all of our friends. And me, Megan, Todd, we're doing a little stand-up. So we're like, why don't we produce a variety show? We'll book the, like, 10 comics that we know from stand-up, you know, at this point. And we'll book, it's mainly going to be about our improv group, though. We're like, we'll be the main kind of focus. But we did that. We're like, let's make it free. Let's just make it a fun show. And we actually did it at an office building downtown. So we're like, let's do it here. And we're like, let's just, you know, see who shows up. And we had a full show. We had like 60 people, which is great for an independent show. It was totally unique because it was like in the office building, like really different. And it was just dope. It was like after hours, people could bring their own alcohol.
Yeah.
And so we did that. And the show went so well that then we were like, okay, like, we actually just produced a show. Like, we realized what we had done, and we're like, let's just do more of this. Like, why would we not? So then, like, 2 months after that, we're like, let's do a ticketed show, and we'll make it, you know, now we'll book, like, a lot more stand-ups, a lot more. We'll book another improv group. So once we did that, we're like, we started planning that show. We're like, we need to be a name. We need to be something. We can't just be, like, it was our improv group presents. So we're like, no, we need this to be something else presents.
Yeah.
So then the idea of Team Us came to be because it's like, it's not just about one of us. It's all of us. It's team us.
Wow.
You know, it's a whole team of us. So it's like, That's where that came from. And people think it's Team US because it's like in all caps, yeah. But it's Team Us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's about the collective. So it really became this thing where it's like we wanted to get to a point where we're like, we all have these skills, but and we make these shows great, but we all have like our focuses. So mine was kind of stand up. Tyler's was improv. He was in like three improv groups at one point.
Wow.
Meg is the writer, so she's writing the sketches that we put up at the show. She's doing all these other things, and I'm usually the host of the show because I had the 2 months of extra stand up than everyone else. So I'm the guy who's hosting and presenting the show. So it was like I was the stand up. So it became this thing that we kind of were like, we all have these functions, but we're bringing the show to the people. And then that second show was in January of 2016.
Right.
And we, 250 people at the show in an office building in downtown Chicago.
Jesus.
And because we booked, it was like a 2.5 hour show. We didn't realize how to book a show yet.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah.
We had booked 2 headliners, 2 improv groups, a sketch group.
What?
And like 8 stand-ups.
Damn.
Because we were like, we're the greatest producers on earth now. We did one show for 50 people. So we got cocky and we just did this insane. So I'll like show you pictures of this thing. I have a GoPro video of like walking me on stage and you just see the fucking crowd. It's like, it's so cool.
Wow.
The backdrop is Wacker Drive. It's like Chicago at night.
Yeah.
And you got everyone just drinking. We had a Christmas party the week before, and it was one of those like bring your own bottle.
Yeah.
To get into the party.
Yeah.
So we had just like 30 bottles left.
Oh,
over from
God.
So we brought them all to the show. End of the show, all gone.
Oh,
people
my.
People were falling over their chairs. It was wild. But it was like the most fun thing I've ever done. And it was like be able to perform that early on and stand up to 250 people.
Yeah.
Is like, you don't get to do that. Even like 3 years into stand-up, you may not even have done that yet.
Yeah.
So it gave us – that put us on the map in terms of it gave us like – because people were like, this show is insane. Like people were seeing pictures. It's like, who are these people? Like,
right.
These comics – who are these comics, A? Who is Team Us?
Yeah.
Second City had sent someone there who was our teacher, and he took the flyer and pictures of the show, and he went to Second City, and he's like, these people just – this is our competition. Like they're producing a way better show – wow. Than what we're doing. And so that gave us like this, you know, we got a little ego because we're like, oh,
yeah.
All right, we out here.
Yeah.
We're doing it. And it was, that was that thing that I think from that show, then that put us, like I said, it was, I think I told you when I first met you, I was like, hey man, produce your own shit, do your own thing. People will notice, you know, like that's how to get, obviously, but if you have something that people want to be a part of, you know, that's the key. And when people want to be a part of your thing, then you're the kind of person who's, now you have the power in a way because you're not asking for shit. People are asking you for shit.
Right.
So it became this other thing where it was like, okay, now we have our own show. I don't care about getting on some trash bar show. I'm like, I do a sold out show in the Loop, man. Like,
yeah.
Well, right. I pay comics.
Right.
You know, like I don't do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So we immediately had a thing where like, we're going to pay every act. We had like principles that we laid out, and then it just continue to blow up from there because we're in that sweet spot of like doing only a couple shows a month and half them were our own shows and then just doing mics and getting better between that. So Team Us really took shape after that. And then, like I said, we've gotten into charity shows, and because of the diverse nature of the shows, like groups want to partner with us to raise money for things. Like we partnered with like the Young Immigrants Center, and we've done all these like one-off shows too that are very specific audiences, but they kind of align with what we do. So we always try to support like Chicago businesses, and we always try to support local talent and basically bring comics and people into downtown that normally wouldn't be downtown. And then show the audience like, hey, all because they look different than you doesn't mean they're not going to entertain you.
Right.
And also the show is going to be way better because a diverse audience equals a way better audience.
Yep.
Every time.
Every time.
So that's what we try to do. And I feel like we've done it, but now it's interesting because we're all so busy, and now Meg is leaving. She's going to she's moving, and so like we have Tyler and I have been kind of holding it down for a minute, but it's like I don't know what the future is going to be after we, you know, come out of this quarantine fully, because Tyler and I now are just like doing so much other stuff.
That's something. Wow, that's something, because I was going to say, you know, what's the outlook? I mean, what is, you kind of led up to where I was going to go, but I think, did you have a question before?
I was actually. Before you say that, I want to give some people a little insight. And it's crazy how, like, Vic and his squad, like, kind of went a route that we were going to go down. Because, and Dario, I'm sure you're going to remember this. Before the pandemic really hit, me and Dario had a phone conversation one night after the podcast. And we said, hey, man, look, let's do something. Let's throw our own show, and it'll be like a variety show. And our first album release party was basically kind of what we did in that setting. But we said we can take that feel and that same vibe and do the same thing. We were going to have improv, music, or spoken word, whatever it be, with comedy. And we were going to infuse all of those things. And we were going to call it Be Good. Positive, Catch This Vibe.
Yep.
It was Catch This
Vibe. I love that.
Yeah, it was Be Positive, Catch This Vibe. And lo and behold, the pandemic happened. But now we're here doing something very similar.
Yeah.
And we didn't even come up with the name for the Laugh Factory show. The name was presented to us this way. This is how it was presented to us. So it's just crazy to me to hear your story and then be like, damn, like, well, man, like, I guess we were on to something. But to hear what you guys did was just like some next level shit. And man, I was like, and now I'm like emulating you. I'm like, oh, man, like I'm looking up to Vic.
Yeah.
Shit, like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's dope.
I mean, it's really like almost identical. When you think about, you know, like the creating your own thing, you went downtown and just caught a spark. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically what, you know, what we're doing with the bar scene. And it's weird because like when people hear bar show, you're like, oh, it's a bar show. But like, yeah, my buddies is a bar, but is it really? Like, it's like we, at one point last year, we had 4 shows out of a 7-day week was inside of that show. So, and that place put 600
people. It's a comedy club more than a bar.
It's a comedy club more than a bar. And it's crazy to think that, you know, like you kind of reinvented what the thought process was for comedy and shows in the loop. And, you know, we kind of forming our own reinvention here of what a bar show is. You know what I mean? It's different. I mean, Wednesday Night Lights is coming back with 2 shows starting tomorrow, at 7 and 9.
I'll be there, dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a 9 o'clock show.
I'll be in the house for both of them. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, all these things Saturday night. So now we're back to 3 shows. You know what I mean? Like throughout a week. You know, so it's just crazy to see, you know, like the creativity and like the drive, because it ain't easy. You know what I mean? Like I could only imagine that you going in a loop. You know what I mean? like that's
well,
gotta be.
Also, like, yeah, these people will like straight up laugh at you because they're like, what you guys are doing at my buddies is similar to what we do. Is like the bar has a dedicated space for this type of thing. It's not like when you hear bar show, the reason it has a negative connotation is because you're interrupting the night that's already happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But a good show takes place in a side room. It takes place in a back room. It takes place in a patio. Like it's not in where the main, you know, necessarily bar people go to hang out. So the thing we did at a distillery in the West Loop is they have a back room where they actually have all the tanks and they make the vodka.
Yeah.
That's where the show is.
Yeah.
So we pull up a stage and we make that whole for a night. That transforms into a club.
That's fire.
So it's not interfering, but it's just, it's dope. It's just a backdrop for the show and it's fantastic. And you guys have done that with the back room at my buddies. You can still hang out in the front. You know, there's a bar there, but you have literally a comedy club there 4 to 5 days a week because it's dedicated. And now that people know that back room, whatever day a week they could go there, they're like, there's comedy happening. There's something going on in the show.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but these venues, you have to present them with why this is going to be good for them. With us, we were like, listen, we're going to bring 40 to 50 people into your venue on a Saturday night. Your drinks are $14 each, 2 drink minimum. You take the drink door. We'll take the tickets.
Yeah.
You make $2,000 in an hour.
Right.
You know, like, why would you not do
it? Right.
And they're obviously going to drink more than 2 drinks. No one just drinks 2 drinks.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, and that's why that show was successful, because it was getting a bougie clientele, people who don't mind going out. They're going to spend this money anyway. They're getting comedy and alcohol in the same spot. And it's premium. It's cocktails. It's not just like a beer. Yep. Like these people are getting handcrafted drinks. So it was a completely different. We had so many shows running at one point that were like, how do we segment each show? Like, here's our premium show, most expensive ticket. What's the value prop here? Here's like the variety show was kind of the everyone show. Like, this is just a good time. It's not just about the comedy. It's about hanging out. It's a night out with your friends. We would have after parties paired with the show. So we'd all go out to a bar. You get a free drink with your ticket. Like, we would make it an experience. So we'd be out for like 6 hours because you do the show and then you all go to the bar and you have like 100 people from the show come to the bar. So the bar is like, yo, you just brought 100 people to our bar.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be down with that, right?
Yeah.
So you start to realize like how to make it more valuable for the brand and the because a lot of people don't like. We had a liquor sponsor at one point. Yeah. Same thing. The guy would come and do tastings at the shows to get his name out. So it was all these things that we started doing. But to what you guys are doing, like, you're bringing money into My Buddies, right? Yeah. On an off day a week. Like, you started with Wednesday or Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. Monday.
What else are they gonna have there? Monday. What, who's going, first of all, to that? Like, no one's doing that on Monday. So you started with that. You prove value. Then they're like, okay, we'll give you Wednesday. Okay, we'll give you Friday. Like, you start to earn their trust, and that's how you got to think about it. But most of these bars are so like, well, we don't want to do an open mic where Commerce is going to buy water.
Right.
No one's buying shit. Like, I that's why we stopped. If you notice, we don't post any of our shows in the comedy pages.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
I stopped.
We want comics to come to the show.
Yeah.
We want audience to come to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't post shit in the comedy pages.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we stopped. We did the same thing. Yeah, we made that decision last year. We were like, look, here's what we're going to do. Yep. We're going to stop advertising.
We started doing this, and we're like, and then we realized, like, wait, why are we doing this? We know who we're going to book already.
Yeah.
If there is a submission process, we have another show that we test people out on before they do this. Like, we have all that built in. So we're like, we don't need to be doing this.
Yeah.
And also, that cuts down on the messages that, like, we get.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, like, see a show that we do weekly in the Burbs, and it's called, like, Oak Park Comedy Club. They don't know I booked the show.
Right.
Like, they don't know. So I don't want people, like, I don't need the credit. You know,
right.
I just
right.
want the show to be good.
Right.
So it also cuts down on the administration, and I can kind of put up, you know, submit to the website. That way you're in our depository. Like, you don't need to, don't message me on Facebook.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those things too. It kind of protects your brand.
That's smart. One thing you just said about how you don't need the credit, and I made the decision with this second wave of us coming back for the second time. I don't put my name on my name and faces on the flyer anymore. Look, it's just a show. Here's the comedians, and we're just gonna go. You know what I mean? At this point, you know what's going on. If it's a B positive production, it's only a couple people running it. You know what I mean? Like you know, like so.
And that's it's always better to get that. That's why when you see a Team Us logo on something, you're like, oh, I know who these people are. Like, they're known for producing successful shows and good shows, and they're good comics. And that brand is more powerful than each of us individually, because it's like, what can we do as a brand? So it's really taking those that's why, again, going back to improv, it's taking that improv kind of mindset and applying it to everything, because improv is all about that support, that community. Like, the scene is only as great as everyone in it. And so that's when people shit on it. It's like, there's so much more that you're getting out of it than just the performance.
Yeah. Oh, that's
we get nuggets. I didn't know we was gonna get.
You know what I'm saying? Nail on the head.
Yeah, you lucky I didn't start drinking yet. I was gonna wild out on this podcast.
Hey, look.
Dario knows, man. Yeah. I go in on mics on podcasts. I'll be roasting people in the chat.
Oh yeah.
On, I gotta make a good impression. He's a businessman. I gotta look.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, tomorrow, man. I don't know what I'm gonna be doing. So
be ready. Go crazy.
Oh,
go crazy.
We
man, that's just crazy. We get, like I said, we're getting all facets of the business aspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Starting your own show, producing your own show, like getting some insight into that. So I think that's dope. Vic, man, what did you? I know I don't want to get too caught up on the stand up part, because I do want to talk about the show and the book. But where did your influences from comedy come from? Where did that come from?
For me, it was funny, because I was introduced to, like, Carlin and, like, Pryor, like, before I really understood what comedy was. Like, I was introduced to them. I knew it was good, but I didn't really see, like, I didn't really understand what I was watching. I'm like, this is so layered and so complex, but I'm like, it's just well-written, and it's, like, a performance, and that was what drew me to it. I was, like, 10 when I watched some of that stuff. So I was like, I don't really know what this is, but I know it's good, and I know, like, if I become a comic, like, I want to be poised to that level.
Yeah.
And then I remember, for me, it was, I started listening to, like, Opie and Anthony when I was at work at United Airlines. I was working, and I would just listen to it. And then I saw Patrice O'Neill started coming on a lot. And then I was like, dude, this Patrice guy is the funniest person I've ever, like, this is incredible, right? So I kept listening. And then I realized, I find on YouTube, there's, like, a catalog of 100+ Patrice O'Neill appearances on Opie and Anthony. So I just literally listened to that every day for like a year. It took me, because they're 3-4 hour episodes each, right?
Yeah.
So I went through all those, and I'd just be at my desk like laughing, and I'm like, this is the kind of comic that I want to be like. And then I go discover his stand-up, and I go discover. So it really, like, Patrice, I think, for me, and just his documentary that came out on Friday, like, just incredible. And one of the funniest dudes in the moment off the cuff, which is, I think, what the improv, you know, being in that kind of mindset. Yep. But also just, like, the just being able to say truth and be regardless of what it does to you, you know, to a fault, to a point where I was just like, this is the kind of dude that you want to, like, aspire to be.
Right.
And it was just, like, just plain funny. Like, it didn't need to necessarily have a point. But it was logical. Like, I liked how he broke down bits logically, even if they weren't about serious topics. Like, he would still approach it with a very analytical kind of mindset. So that's how I, when I write stand-up now, I talk about, like, a lot of stuff, but when I do a bit, I get very, like, I try to get very in the weeds of it and explore it from, like, all sides. So it's analytical, but it could be just nonsense. It could be, like, the dumbest thing ever. But I'm talking about little things that you didn't notice.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is the thing that's interesting. This is the specificity that's going to make this bit great. And then you're like, oh, this guy's insane, but it's funny because he thought about that. Like, you know, like it's one of those things where it's like, this guy clearly has some issues, but it's funny. So, like, that's the kind of comedy I like to, I kind of drew from. And then obviously, like, then I started discovering other people like Kevin Hart and Chappelle, all their early specials I thought were, like, so good.
Yeah.
Aziz's early specials. Yeah. Basically, everyone's early shit, I was, like, on early on. Like, I was watching their first few specials and I just would watch them, like, Louis' early shit, like, all those specials were so good. I would watch them and over again. Like, I could still remember jokes. Because now I consume so much comedy that I can't, like, think back to certain jokes necessarily in the last couple of years. But I can tell you, like, Kevin Hart's, like, you know, swearing at his mom.
Yeah.
Like, long titty, no nipple.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm never going to forget that. No.
Like, shit like that is just stuff I've just, like, it's internalized so deep.
Yeah.
So a lot of that is, like, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad I don't consume specials like that anymore, because I feel like that would influence my own comedy to a degree that the stealing or whatever, like, I don't want to do that. So I think it was good that I had it early on, and now I'm just drawing from it in a subconscious kind of way.
It's I mean, that's one hell of a mind that you have, man, to kind of, like, dive that deep into it, because I'll be honest, I haven't even dove that deep into it, you know what I mean? Like, it's, but I will say, one thing you just said, is how you don't like to watch the stand-up, and we heard that from a few, people that's been on the podcast, Darian, that they don't watch, stand-up, and when I think about it, yeah, I guess I don't watch the stand-up, I also, but your reason is you don't want to take, you know, you want to be a copycat, and I get it, 100% agree. That's why I got my rule, man. Like, I don't talk about nothing that I haven't physically seen my own eyes, something I can't touch. I haven't been in a moment, I didn't witness, or I don't talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, so, like, that's how I kind of stay sane with it. Question though, there's two things I know me and Darian will talk about. The album, man. Talk to us, man. Your album. Again, the parallels are just crazy. Your album went number one. Talk to us about that album.
Yeah, so we had this idea. I think it was, like, 2017. We were, like, we had been producing, like, shows for a couple of years at this point. We were doing well. We were all kind of, you know, we would have this thing where we'd have these monthly shows, these variety shows, and we would have a lot of our friends come every month. So we kind of were forced to write, like, a new 5 minutes. Like, that was the goal.
Yeah.
And so during the month leading up to the show, we'd be out miking, we'd be out giving each other notes, we'd be kind of, like, pushing ourselves to get that new five, because we had the expectation that, like, this audience is going to come back, and we don't want to, like, let our friends down.
Right.
Like, it's different to let a strange audience down. It's another thing when you're, like, these people, like, you talk to them regularly.
Right.
So that kind of put us in this mindset of generating, like, a lot of good content. So then after, like, 2.5 years, we're like, well, like, we think we have, like, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. Like, in hindsight, we probably had, like, 10. But we were like, we have, like, you know, 30. We think we had, like, 30 minutes each.
Yeah.
So we're like, why don't we make, we don't have an hour. We weren't that cocky. Like, we know we don't have an hour each.
Yeah.
So what can we do that's different, that's very team us, it's very about us together.
Yeah.
That we can do, and we can make it, like, we want to do a special. Like, let's do some sort of special thing. Like, let's get it on video, let's audio record it, and, like, let's release it. So then the next year, we basically spent mapping out the special. And I got the idea because I saw Chris Rock had a special. I forgot what it was called. But basically, it was him doing the same stand-up set in three different cities.
Hmm.
So it keeps cutting from him in different outfits because he's in different cities. In South Africa, he's in Brooklyn, and then he's in, I forgot where else. But basically, the stand-up special would kind of cut. And it was really cool. I was like, this is a good idea. We could do the same kind of thing, but we cut between three comics in the same venue.
Yeah.
So same location, three comics. And what we do is we just layer it in such a way where it's like, I'm talking about dating, goes to a joke about Tyler talking about dating. And then it goes to Meg talking about something else related. And then it's like race. And then me and Meg are talking about it. And then it goes to Tyler talking about religion. And it's like we kind of mapped this whole thing out. So we're like, this is a cool concept. And we had these bits that were kind of parallel, right?
Yeah.
Like, you start to, when you lay it all out, it's like when you put together your first half hour, first hour, you realize like, oh, there's a chunk of shit right here that goes with this.
Yeah.
And we all knew each other's material so well because we had been working together and open micing together and producing shows together. So we kind of had an idea of how this would flow. And we actually brought on Jonald Reyes, who's Second City, who does a bunch of producing as a creative director, to like go through all of our material. We put it all in the doc. He went through all of it with us, and he's like, okay, this should go here, this should go here. And he helped us make this like framework.
Wow.
And then we were like, okay, we need to find someone to produce it. So we saw Kristen Toomey had a special called, it's called Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Great special.
Yeah.
But the person who videoed like the special, we're like, this is how we want it to look. So I hit her up and I called this dude up, and then he's like runs his own production company. So we brought him in. So now we're all the pieces are coming together. We have the production house, we have us, we have a creative director, we have the venue. We're like, let's do it at the distillery.
Yeah.
But we're like, well, this has to look incredible. We're like, normally we can sell about 50 seats. We're like, let's fucking oversell this show.
Mm.
So we did 75 tickets, two shows. And we filmed both shows and did two shows in the same night. So it was like wild. Like it was like, I felt like, you know how like on Netflix specials or like Comedy Central, they have the guy pulling up to the venue, getting out. We did that shit. Like we had B-roll of us coming into the venue. Like it was dope, man. We're at the table beforehand, like 4K filmed. It looks like it's on Netflix. Like the special looks incredible. But so we do these shows. We do two shows. We then have about 90 minutes of footage and we cut that down to about like 75, you know, after we kind of went through and just made it flow really well. And then we released the audio version like a year later.
Wow.
So we sat on it because we knew if we put this out, we kind of burned this material in a way, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So after that, we were just like, it kind of was nice because we're like, okay, in our mind, we had burnt it already. So we started working on new shit. So I set that 25 down and I was like, this is a solid 25. I've worked up for 2 years to this point. I'm going to set this down. And now for the next year, up until I release it, I'm going to work on new stuff. So then when that came out, I was like, I already have a new 20. Like it's already done because I've been working on it for all year. So, and then I realized after that, I was like, oh, no one gives a shit. I could have been doing this old 20. I worked my ass off for this shit. I could have been doing old shit this whole time. I'm like, these hacks out here. So I realized, I was like, man, but that's the work ethic. That's where that comes from, is because you're like, well, if I put it out, I burn it. Like that's the mentality. And that was kind of the Louis C.K. kind of placing these hours every year. And all the other comics were like, fuck, we got to step it up because he's putting out new content every year and it's incredible. So we can't be stuck lagging behind. So now everyone's got to level up.
Right.
So it kind of forced us all to do that. And then once the album came out, the audio version, and we're like, we saw the video version and we just sat on that for another year. And then we released that in 2019. And so it was like, or 2020, sorry, this year. So we released it during the pandemic as a YouTube playlist, kind of like Andrew Schultz did. And that's how that got trending pretty well. But we already had gotten the number one. So we just kind of put it out because we're like, hey, this is really how this thing should be consumed, is the video version, because it cuts between people.
Yeah.
And it's really well shot. So now if you Google or YouTube my name, I have like 40 clips on there because it's just all the little bits that we interluded. So it was just the whole process of producing your own album is like a really, as you know, it's really, really insightful. And you kind of learn about your own material from the lens of like other people. And you're like, oh, this is really helpful for me because I can kind of see where I was in my comedic journey.
Right.
And then I'm seeing where I am now and what I'm writing about now. And it's like, it's interesting to have that as like a time capsule to look back and be like, oh, this is like the origin of me now. And now I'm like, I'm writing about shit that I would have been too scared to talk about on that first album.
Yeah.
So it's I'm so glad you guys did it because your shit is good too. And it's just, it goes to show like producing really just teaches you so much.
I mean, number one thing is timeliness. that's our biggest, that's at least my biggest takeaway from the album. Darren, I'm listening to him talk, man. You listen to Team Us, right? Team Us is two I know Darren know where I'm going with this. It's two guys and a lady. We literally had that at the beginning, man. Like, honestly, I'm listening to you talk, and in my head, I'm just sitting here thinking, damn, man, how come people just wouldn't act right with us, man? And just, damn it, like, shit, we could have been so great. I mean, and not to say, of course, we got T positive right now, you know, me and the boys, you know what I mean? Like, so we good now. You know what I mean? But I'm just listening to you think and almost envious, kind of like, shit. We were like literally on that track and we had that same dynamic, so we thought. You know what I mean? It's like people's egos got in the way, man. God dog it.
Everything happened for a reason, man. I'm listening to you talking. You talking about the special Dario. What do we want to do for Amazon?
Yeah.
And all of that.
Right. Like, you know what I'm yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's the same, like, you know what I mean? It's the same, like, path. And it's just like, on the cusp, like, right before, we like, man, 2020, like, we going to take off because we want to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Then all of this happened. So we had to adjust. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, it's crazy to hear, like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
It's like spooky. It's like spooky to hear. Like it's like spooky. I mean, hey, Darian, listen to this. Like, so Vic was talking about how he created the, how he came up with the concept. He saw from somebody else. The whole reason why we wanted to do the first album, it was based off of Dave Chappelle's Block Party. Down to the album artwork. the album artwork is literally, I'm sure if Dave, if he wanted to, he could probably sue us for this probably. But I mean like we literally bit that shit off, you know, bite for bite, you know what I'm saying? So just listen to you, it's like, so without even knowing, like, we didn't talk about this, people. You know, if you listen, we ain't talk about this. You know, I met Vic, obviously we met Vic right around 2019, you know, midway through to the 2019. Was it earlier? It was. I can't remember. We didn't.
It might be a little bit early.
Yeah, it's somewhere right there. But you know, we ain't talked this out. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't telling Vic our plans. So like, just hearing him kind of do this.
But
we,
here's the thing, man. Like, when I met you, I think I met you at my buddy's because you were working. Were you bartending there for a second?
No. I'm just always behind the bar.
Dario fucking lives there, so I don't know what he's doing. I'm like, is he? He's got a bed. He's got a pull-out couch. He's like, yeah, I've been here since 3. I'm like, the show's not till 8. What the fuck is here since 3? Like, what are you doing?
You know what's crazy? That you saw me, when you see me behind a bar, they had just shown me, giving me the honor of like, hey, you can go behind a bar and make your own drinks. So now I'm like, oh, so people would pull up and see me behind the bar because I like starting out to work the shit.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's the good relationship with the venue. That's what people don't realize. Like, having the venue, you make the venue money and the money's supportive of the arts.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
But when I saw you, and that's the thing, we didn't talk about any of this shit, but I talked to you for like 2 minutes and you just told me what you wanted to do. And you're like, yeah, like, you're like, I see you doing this stuff. Like, you're asking me questions. And yeah. I was like, he's going to do this. Like, yeah. I could just tell right then. Cause there's few people. That's why, you know, there's so many comics you meet, but you're like, the people that I like really talk to more than just like, I'm very cordial with everyone, very friendly with everyone, but the people I actually fuck with, like, on a deeper level, it's like people who have, I don't need to explain this mentality,
right?
Like, you either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not here to be best friends with everyone. I'm gonna be nice to everyone. I'm not gonna be a dick, but I'm very much like, Dario knows, I do the show and I leave. Like, yeah. I'm not necessarily the guy to hang out.
Yeah.
I never have been that person. I'm like, this is a job. I treat it like that. Yeah. I don't, like, you pay for my time. Like,
yeah.
I'm here to tell jokes. Like, you know, like, if you want me to hang out, that's an additional charge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's going to be more money, you know? Man. And I've had to do that, too. Like, I took Dario on a gig with me, 21st birthday party. They literally were like, we're hiring you because you're funny, but you also are eye candy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that limits the comic pool I can choose from.
Yeah. Additional people,
right? So I was like, I got to get someone who's funny and attractive. Yeah. So I was like...
Man, we won't...
So I was like, let me get...
We walked into a lion's den too. Boy, that was aggressive. I mean, down to the mama. It was like, God damn, like, what the hell?
My girl called me at like 9:30. She's like, why aren't you checked in yet? I was like, look, you know what? I'll be home when I get home. Or I'm making money right now.
Bruh, I was a free agent at that time. And let me tell you.
That's the one gig I don't talk about with Sarah. I'm like, yeah, we done some shows.
Yeah.
stand-up strippers and shit. Man.
And it was wild too, because the mother of the 21st group was the one pushing it off.
Man,
it was to a point where it was uncomfortable. But I was like, bruh, hey, just give me the check and we'll leave. You know, like,
bruh, they were saying some wild shit, man. I mean, wow. I was like, this is out of control. So Vic left, right? So Vic left. I stayed probably like another 20, 30 minutes after. But I stopped because I was like, all right, man. These drinks starting to flow. This shit just wild to me. Let's just get out of here, man. Let's just be smart.
I left Dario. This is before the movie Get Out came out. Yeah, I was like, yo, this.
I had to
see the signs, you know.
Man,
they come in there. They got butter pecan and chocolate. Nah.
They had options, boy.
Assortment of chocolate.
Oh, that's funny. Vic. I want to talk about before we got to get out of here, but. Look, y'all, this is the book, man. Why You Basic, man. And I want Vic, talk to him, man. Let people know. What's up? How did the book come about?
Dude, this whole thing came about. I've always, like, not after I started getting asked to do, like, private shows and, like, started headlining clubs. Like, a lot of comics sell shit after shows, right? So I was like, I want to sell something. But I was, like, thinking for a while, because like, I released another album just independently. And I was like, let me maybe sell that. But I released it for free. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable selling something that I'm giving out for free. Like, that's kind of disingenuous. So I was like, let me just try something different. I was like, let me get a merch. I don't want a t-shirt because I don't want to carry around. I don't want to go to Indiana and carry 40 t-shirts. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I want to just have something that's easy. So then I was looking through, you know, just old, I have like this document that's just like random ideas of things. And I was like, I had this joke that I was trying to write. And this was around when like, everyone was like really getting into like meditation and like self-care, like that whole stuff started trending.
Yeah.
And I was writing this joke about, I'm like, man, if I wrote a self-help book, it would just, first page you open it, it would just be a mirror so you realize you're the problem. Like,
yeah.
I was like, let me just get. So I just was like, it was my style of comedy, but I was thinking about it as a joke.
Yeah.
And then I put that, I did it a couple times on stage and it just was too mean. Like a lot of my jokes, yeah. I'm like, I gotta work on it. So I gotta, let me take this back to the lab, right? And then I just never got it to where I wanted it as a bit. And then I would keep adding to it, you know, over the months. And then I went back over like the last year, and I basically was talking to Meg about this concept. I'm like, it kind of became an internal inside joke between Team Us. I was like, they're gonna like, she's like, oh, they would read your book, Why You're Basic. And this was before I had a book.
Yeah.
But they're like, they would read your book. It kind of became the thing. And so I was like, man, I should just like write this. Like, yeah. Let me, because I read The War of Art, you know, and I was like, I like that style. It's like very short. It's very just tangible stuff you can do immediately.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let me write it this way and not write it as a joke, because the way I was writing it as a joke was like, I'm telling people that they're, you know, they need to do this versus right. The way I wrote it and The War of Art is written. It's just like, here's what's happening and here's a concept and here are some strategies to kind of tackle it. It's not like, it's not pointing a finger at anybody. It's not like making it seem like I know all the answers. It's more just like, here's a common thing that you may be facing, and here's some typical ways to remedy that. So I wrote it almost in like a third person type of way.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, this is great. It's cool. But now it was kind of, it didn't have any funny to it. It was just like, yo, this is kind of serious. I'm like, I can't release it. Like, the cover was funny. The title is funny. But then I was like, how do I make this, just give it some levity, right?
Yeah.
So then I was like, started tweeting a lot this in the last year. And I was like, I like this concept, this format. And I was like, I realized I have all these tweets that are very parallel to each, you know, principle in the book.
Yeah.
So I started layering those together. And now when you open it, it's like the left side of the page is like the tweet and the right side is like the principle. And so, yeah, it really came together nicely. And I think it's kind of like, people feel when after you go to a show and you give them a little bit of that, like your comedy, they're like, well, I want to see more of your comedy, but I also want to get something else. So this is kind of a cool way to give the comedy, but it's also like, oh, you can also write, like it's a different skill. So that really, after I did that, I was like, okay, I should just put it out. Like, let's see, because this is a good time to put shit out. No one has anything else to do. And immediately sold out of the books in like 2 days. And I was like, fuck, people have been like, because people also, it's just catchy. Like, it looks funny.
Yeah.
People think it's a gag gift. And then people read it, they're like, oh, this is actually legit. So it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
People are just like, oh, fuck with you because you're funny. But now they're like, oh, I actually learned something from this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then when Dario was talking about this radio show, I think you told me about it. We were at another wild private gig.
Oh, my.
Funeral home.
At funeral home. Yeah. Yeah. Indiana. Peru, yeah. Indiana.
I think Dario to every wild gig I do, man.
I love it.
I was like, Dar was like, oh, I'm starting a radio station. And it's funny because at this point, I feel like I've pitched Dario so many wild gigs and he's pitched me so many wild ideas that doesn't like, that's not a weird statement to me. But if someone else said that, like, I'm starting a radio station, I'm like, you're not fucking starting a radio station. I'm just like, oh, okay. And I immediately was just like, all right, let me get a show. Like, it wasn't even like I didn't have to think about it twice, because it's just like, I'm like, I know he's going to do it. Like, it's not a question of whether it's going to happen. I'm like, it's already happening. I'm like, I just want to get involved.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should just do it off the book, because this requires more dialogue. I could deep dive into some of these topics. So now what I'm doing with the radio show is basically talking to people who are experts in like productivity, creativity, athletes, and basically all these people who have kind of applied these principles and are excelling in life. So I think it's helpful for anyone who's just like interested in learning how to like level up, if you want to call it that. But it's also just like real people that you know that are not necessarily these like famous, you know, like athletes or famous people who are known for being productive and innovators. It's just like everyday people who are also killing it.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's what I like about it. It's not, it's like a little bit of a mix of both. It does, you don't need to be, you know, on Fortune 500 magazine to get the interview. Like,
right,
you're gonna,
right,
you know, you can still take stuff from everyday people, and people who are just doing it without, again, without the recognition.
Yeah, man. Van, Vic is a wealth of knowledge here, man. And we love him on the station. Honestly, I listen to every damn thing here. I know we listen to all the shows, man. And the cool thing about running the station is if you miss station, all I got to do is go back and listen to it. So it's in the database, so I got it without. But I mean, it's a real, it follows the book, man. The one thing I really like about my version of the book is because, you know, I know I got a signed copy, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, but the reason why I like it a lot is because I got a signed copy and I still kick with this brother. I don't think we give each other our roses. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't give our roses, you know what I mean, to people that can still smell them. And, you know, like, so, like, when I was a fan, when I was like, hey, yo, let me get a book. Let me sign it, too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm serious. You know, I'm like, sign the book for me, because, you know, that means something. You know, with friends, you got to value our friends, man. And I don't think people do that enough. So, Vic, man, hey, look, I value, man. Ever since we met, you know that. But last year, you brought me up. It was January 2nd, man. And had me come in the Laugh Factory and give me a spot in the lineup that, you know, Laugh Factory had never done. No stage has ever done. You know what I mean? Big stage like that. And the moment when you were like, yo, you going before me? I remember getting to the venue, to Laugh Factory, being like, damn, I'm going in front of it. Like, I'm like, you know, like, and at that point, I've already had a good success. You know, 2019 was good. You know what I mean? So, like, that was just, I'll never forget it. It was like one of them things, man. Like, that is just like, damn, that's I props to you, man. I appreciate you for that, man. Like, of all the things we've done, that's yeah, like, I never forget it.
That's one of those things, too. Like, see, people have done similar stuff like that for me. And for me to, like, be able to do that, A, is dope. But also, I'm like, I knew you're ready. You know, it wasn't a question of that. Like, sometimes, as you know, that's why it's cool you're starting shows at these clubs that are hard to get into, because it's very tough for sometimes comics who are good to kind of get past that. Like, you have all these comics who haven't left Chicago that are 8-10 years in the game.
Yeah.
How do you, as a 2-3 year comic, penetrate that?
Yeah.
Because for the club, they're like, well, we have loyalty, and we also aren't gonna, it's not that we don't think you're talented, is that we have these people who are killers every time. So they're like, it's very hard for the club. Like, I was bitter about it for a minute, but then I was like, oh, the way to get in these clubs is just to kill it.
Kill it.
And they know who I am.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started running Team Us up. Like, I remember I went to the Laugh Factory. Rebecca O'Neill had recommended me, and I did a Tuesday 10 show. And Curtis was like, oh, yeah, I've never seen you before, but, like, Rebecca had mentioned your name. And he's like, you're already good.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, why would I come here if I wasn't good? I'm not going to show up to Laugh Factory if I was trash.
Right, right, right.
Like,
Some people do.
I never had that mindset where people go do the mic. Yeah, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's a separate podcast. Yeah. But people literally will show up there, and it blew my mind that they would show up there and just hang out and be like, oh, put me on for 5 minutes. And then they wait. They're not out working. They're not out doing mics. They're not out getting better. But they wait for that 5 minutes. They get the 5 minutes and it goes okay. And then they're like, hey, why am I not getting booked? And then the booker's like, it wasn't a good five. Like, you did okay.
Right.
Like, I have people who are killing it here regularly. Why would I? And you're also just here all the time. It's a point. Like, go do some shit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's why I appreciated, my focus is always getting Zanies first. Because Zanies, there's no hangout at Zanies.
Ain't
if you're
no.
not on the show, you're not. You're not in the green room, bro.
No.
The green room's upstairs.
Yeah,
you're on the floor.
Yeah.
You're in the crowd.
Yep.
You know? There's no like, oh, we're gonna all mingle and shit. And I respect that. I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the three comics on the show, this host feature headliner. Everyone has a role, and that's it. And like, I once I got into Zanies, that also helped open doors to other clubs and everything. But that was the thing. Once I had that mark, I was like, oh, these other ones are going to fall.
Yeah.
And that's, I got the improv out of that. I got the Comedy Bar I was already in at. And then Laugh Factory, like being able to run, Laugh Factory was the first club that headlined me.
Yeah.
So like be able to do that, I was like, then they had, so like all these clubs have helped each other, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And then when I got that opportunity, they're like, who do you want on the show? And they're like, we already booked these people. So I was like, well, how many spots do I get? They get, we get one spot. And I was like, well, I need someone with, who's got the energy, who's right, and who can open, who I want. Like, I want this to be, it's my show. I want them, same sensibilities. And I was like, also, it's a gold microphone. I'm like, who's going to look good with
microphone? Oh, yeah.
Not everyone has the swag to pull off a gold microphone. You know?
Oh, man.
So it was a no-brainer, man. And I'm just happy that, you know, it wasn't one of those things that, like, I did because I wanted anything back. I just was like, hey, this is a funny ass dude. He's a good dude, which is not, those things are not mutually exclusive. There's a lot of funny people who are assholes, and I don't work with those people. Like,
right.
I've told Dara all the time when I take him on these private shows, I'm like, yes, there's 100 people I could ask, but I don't want to be in driving 3 hours in a car to Peru, Indiana,
right, with
100 people.
Yeah.
That's just facts. Like, yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to some woman's house and perform for 8 people in a condo.
Yeah.
And also, I might get attacked and I need someone bigger. Yeah. Like, I need.
I got you, bro. I'm always there for you.
He has a lot of purposes, man. He serves a lot of purposes.
I check off a lot of boxes. I like it. I'm with it. Utility man. That's with it. Man, that's love, bro. That's love, man. I'm telling you. I going on about it, man, but we ain't got the time.
I can say one thing with that Laugh Factory thing and how you kind of got brought Dario up and was able to say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to get this dude on. It will be repaid to you, my brother.
Yeah.
It's already happened. Like, Dario's the only person running shows during the pandemic, and especially... Yeah. You know, normally, like, I'm doing a lot of spots, but with the pandemic, you're like, oh, I got a weekend at this club. I'm doing 45 minutes. I haven't been on stage in 2 weeks. And I was like, hey, Dario, can I do a quick spot? And I'm not on the show. I hit him up 2 days before the show. He's like, of course. Like, it's not even, like, he doesn't make me feel awkward about it. And he knows I'm doing it. I'm only asking because I got something important coming up.
Yeah.
So it's like, that shit is, like, intangible. Like, there's so many little things that I think people don't see that producers do that are like important to highlight. Like, and again, he knows I'm also not going to fuck it up. You know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to take that seriously. So it goes both ways. Like, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. That's why when you see comics who are like tight, like, and you know, your people, cause you're like, these people will give me opportunities. And also I'll give them opportunities. I'm rooting for everyone on my team.
Man.
Like, it's not a huge team, but it is people. And I feel like with comedy, like, we're all in this. Like, there's enough work. Like you guys say, we can all eat.
We can all eat.
There's plenty to go around, man.
Plenty.
I mean, you're doing your show. You got your own night. You got your own being. Like, it's its own vibe. You're creating something different. You're not competing with the – there's some show called Highly Recommended, for example. You're not competing with that show. That's a different brand. That's a different, you know,
let them have it. Yeah.
So it's totally different. So, like, people need to stop viewing this as, like, a competition and view it more as, like, we're a community of people.
Yeah.
And we're all trying to just make it.
Boom.
And if you pay attention, you connect the dots, you can get in. It's so many lanes of opportunity that can open up from one thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Man.
It's just, but people just got to let go of themselves and get out of your own way and let your ego go, man. And that's what it's all about. This has been very insightful, man.
Yeah, it's very.
Y'all don't leave it though. I got some notes. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you came with the glasses on, I'm like, he ready, dude. He's like,
man. Like,
I got notes. This is nuts.
Man.
I don't have nothing else, man.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody out there listening, if anybody gonna come back to this, man, honestly, work ethic, man. Like, if we had to sum all this up, man, it's the work ethic, man. You gotta do that grind, man. You gotta do that grind, and then the next thing is you gotta have those people that believe in you. Because, like, honestly, all you need is good people around you, a good group, support group. If y'all believe in each other, all y'all gonna do is every time an opportunity arise, you gonna be like, hey, look, I got some of these people. Boom. Now look, now everybody get on. You know what I mean? Like, all you doing is reaching your hand back. we done been down this road so many times with us where people have just literally just left us without even saying goodbye. And then we find out later they talk about us. And it's like, all we want to do is help. You know what I mean? It's like, that's all we try. Because we don't know what we're doing half the time. You know what I mean? Like, well, at this point in the game, we know.
Don't tell the secret.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, I did it.
We off the air now.
Man.
See, this is the thing, though. If I say some shit like that, like, I only fuck with people I know. Like, and I also, I don't support comedy, dude. Like, I don't do this shit. I'm like, it's too much. Like, there's a lot of people just so much. Now that I've done it to this, I'm like, yo, some people need to stop. Like, yeah. There's a lot of people that need to. The Zoom comedy has made comedy too accessible.
Well,
I'm
boy.
Like, you gotta, yeah, it's too much. Like, everyone's just like, oh, I can log on. I'm like, that's not how comedy works. You gotta go sign up. You gotta sit. You gotta take it in.
Grind.
You gotta bomb. And then you gotta drive. You missed the drive home.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what you missed.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
need to think about that shit.
That's self-reflection.
That was my last question, actually, because you said something about work ethic, Dario, and
yep.
that took me to Vic doing these corporate shows. And then, Vic, you just said virtual and Zoom. So I know there's a lot of the comedy scene is kind of divided on, like, you know, doing Zoom shows and in-person shows and all that stuff, or just doing Zoom shows in general. And, Vic, I know you've been able to capitalize on the pandemic and do these corporate events and Zoom shows. One, give us some insight on what you feel about Zoom shows. And then two, I would say to spread a little knowledge, give a tad bit of insight on how comedians can play within this realm of the corporate events and make it work for them.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, first of all, anyone who's like posting opinions on corporate shows, Zoom shows, or shows in general is probably bad. Just say that
man.
At the gate. If you're a busy man, you don't have time to be posting opinions like that. Like, that don't matter, and nobody cares. Well, that's the thing people need to understand, dude. Nobody cares buying this shit. Like,
right.
Just do your thing. Head down. Like, don't worry about what other people are doing. Like, it's just one of those things. If you're doing it for yourself, you should only be competing with yourself. Like, hey, if I need to do a Zoom show to get me to remember my own material versus just me reading it, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, it's just a tool. Like,
it's a rep. I think,
yeah, it's a rep.
It's a rep.
That's what.
That's all it is.
When it started, I was like, okay, I know I need to do stand up this many times per week, and I was like, I'm not getting that right now because everything's closed. So when Zoom started, I was like, okay, let me try it. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, first of all, it first turned into a thing of like, this is just a way to connect with other comedians I haven't seen in a while. It was kind of fun. And it was just about like shooting the shit and then running some bits. But then it became, oh, this is helping me now get in the habit of writing.
Yeah.
Because now I'm seeing the same people on these Zoom shows. And I'm like, well, I got to have new stuff. I don't want to come with the old stuff. So that I knew it was making me follow my habits. And I was like, that alone was worth it for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, even if I'm not getting the necessary reaction I want on jokes or the read on the jokes themselves, the fact that it kept me writing, that is so hard to fall out of. Like, you don't want to fall out of that, in the sense, like, once you fall out of that, that's way really hard to start up again. So you're like, I need to keep that muscle flexed.
Yeah.
So that's what I started doing it for. And then I've been doing corporate shows in person. So the corporate side, they're already using Zoom meetings. Like, they're very comfortable in that environment. So for them, all their holiday parties, all these things that they normally would have huge budgets for that they're doing in person, they're like, well, why don't we just hire a comedian to come on for 20, 30 minutes, and we have already this budget allocated for the show.
Yeah.
We'll just pay it. And then as a comic, you're like, I'm getting all that money that could potentially would normally have gone to food, drinks,
yeah.
music. So for us, it's super lucrative because I'm booking maybe one other comic, or I'm filling the time myself. So I'm taking the whole check. And I don't need to leave my house.
Right.
And it's like, all I had to do for that was do 20 minutes of cleaner material. But, you know, even when I didn't have 30, 20 clean, I would just do all the tops of my jokes.
Yeah.
So I would never do the tag, because the tags are where it gets dirty.
That's where it gets rough. So yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I would just do 40 different jokes, but just the first half of the joke.
Yeah.
And
yep.
then it's still good, because the way I write premises are like, the joke is in the premise, too. There's at least mm-hmm. one joke in the premise. So.
Yeah.
It became this thing where I was like, oh, before I was even writing clean per se, I was able to still do it. And then I would just, again, fake it till you make it. Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, he can do clean.
Yep.
And now people think, I think there's a lot of people in the comedy scene who think I'm a clean comedian. And I'm like, Dario knows I'm gross.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to be tomorrow. Like, it's a 9 o'clock show. I'm not be out until 10:30. I'm going to say some wild shit.
Yeah.
It's like, I can do both. And now it's a lot harder to write a joke dirty into make it a clean joke.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to make a clean joke dirty.
Yes.
So my philosophy, I heard this a long time ago. I don't know who said it, but they're like, if the joke doesn't work clean and it only works dirty, then you should probably drop the joke.
Right.
Like, you should be able to make a clean version of any of your jokes, right? So that's why writing them clean is helpful, because then you can always turn it into dirty. It's very hard to go the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're relying on, like, fuck as a punchline or, like, something like that. So for me, the Zoom stuff, right now I'm doing a mix of both. December, I made more money off comedy last year than any other year on paper because of the Zoom shows.
Yeah.
So just to give you a sense of how lucrative those are, I mean, it's wild. And the time is less.
Yeah.
You're not doing 45. You're doing, like I said, 20, 30 minutes. So why would you not do it?
Right.
You're not commuting. You're not, you know, you're not, if you have the opportunity to do it, why would you not? That's why I'm not one to say it's one to one. Like, I'm not going to say that. I think that's not true. I still want to run the jokes in person, the new stuff I've written, to make sure they work how I want them to work. Because Zoom performance is different. There's like a lag. All these other things. But from the function of it, like, to get me writing and to get me paid, like, obviously I'm going to do it. And that's why I shouted out Pat Truer, because as everyone knows, this dude, first of all, was running a killer show in Chicago for, you know, up until the pandemic. And then he pivoted. And this is another thing, comics, you can't just stop. If you're a comic, you figure out how to be funny in the pandemic, right? You make TikToks, you make sketches, which we've seen a lot of, which is very cool. But then people who just stopped, I'm like, you're going to not be good when you get back. You know that. You're going to be significantly behind people who have been performing. And it's going to be apparent. It's going to be, you're doing jokes from 2018.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, you had 2 years.
Yeah,
what the fuck you doing? Like, you had a long time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's not going to be, again, if you can do it, it's just like, you know, internally, it just would feel, I would feel shitty about it.
Yeah.
Like, I already get bored of my shit I do now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to keep reinventing myself. So, but that's everyone's got their own thing. Like, I don't fault anyone for not doing them. I don't fault people for doing them. I try not to care what people are doing. Like,
right.
That's the vibe. Like, I really don't. I truly don't. I mean, I don't even care what I'm doing sometimes. Because I'm like, I'll do a set and I'll do a 45-minute set. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to listen to it. Like, I'll just figure it out. Like, fuck it, man. Because that's the thing with stand-up, man. Like, so much of stand-up is, there's so many variables. So even if you perfect the joke, you make it perfect, who knows if you're performing that at a fucking 21st birthday party or a funeral home, these things are not going to land the same.
Yeah, like, they're not.
You know, you can only get it to so good. You have to be aware of your environment. So I try to stay in the moment, and I think that's the key for me, is like being in the moment and then just trying new stuff all the time, because that makes me out of my comfort zone, and that's where I produce the best stuff, is when I'm under pressure.
Under pressure, man. Hey, y'all, this man gave us a 20-piece nugget, boy, I swear. I said, this is
with a large fry and a large drink.
With a large, boy, supersized, boy. Look, this is the stuff, you say it so eloquently, and like, maybe my delivery is a little different, you know what I mean? But I'm just, like, I'm listening to it, I'm like, we said this, and, you know, you got some tenure behind you, so, you know, maybe, hopefully it resonates with some people, man, like, man.
Yeah, and people know, like, you know, I've had so many people sit there, like, hey, I want to talk, and I try not to give advice, because, like I said, it's like the book. I don't think, especially in comedy, how subjective it is, it's very hard to give advice. I just call it, like, best practices, like, things that, you know, like, I've had people ask me, like, some people who are just going to host for the first time, like, what are some things to do as a host? I'm like, say the person's name at the end of, before you bring them up. A lot of people are like, oh, your next comic is Vic Pandya. Vic Pandya's done this, this, and this. It's like, you already told the audience my name, and they're, like, about to clap when they hear my name. Why would you put my name first? You got to put it at the end. You're like, hey, this guy's album debut number one iTunes is regular at Zany's.
Little
Vic Pandya. And then they clap. It's like, you train the audience in this mindset. And it's something that, a little thing, but it's like, it's not like I came up with that. It's just how people's brain works.
Yeah.
And it's just a common practice. So it's like, stuff like that is what I try to tell people about, because I feel weird giving people advice on their material,
same,
on their, like, you know, because everyone's different. Like, I used to go on stage, and I still do, where I wear suits or I wear, like, nicer clothes, because I'm like, I like the kind of pairing of looking nice but then saying wild shit. Like, I think that's hilarious to me. Like,
yeah.
Just the dichotomy of that. Like, I'm in a three-piece suit talking about eating ass. Like, that's great. Like, that's hilarious. Like, that is already funny.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like stuff like that where it's like, but that may not work for you, or that may not work for somebody else. So it's not stuff. I don't try to like tell people I know all the shit, because I don't. I mean, I'm figuring this out too. Like,
right.
I just try to one foot in front of the other, man.
Yeah.
Like, man. You guys get it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We get it. We get it. Man, Vic. We could sit here and chop it up all day if we had to, but I know we got the honey roast coming up. D-Luke, go ahead.
All right, well, as Dario just said, we're going to wrap this shit up. So last segment we like to do is the honey roast. So basically, if you're watching or listening for the first time, you know how you used to roast somebody in school? You'd be at the lunch table on the bus and you'd be getting their ass, like, you know, ow, boy, look at them shoes, boy. Dirty ass.
Or you're on any Zoom open mic.
Yeah. Facts.
You roasted people big time. On here on the podcast, we like to do a honey roast. So put a little sweet on it. May say something nice. So, Vic, anybody that's not on the podcast, we want you to shout out, show some love to, whether they supported you, motivated you, or been right with you through your journey up until now. Go ahead and shout them out. And it don't have to be one person. Give me multiple people, my man.
Okay. Wait, you said anybody not on the podcast meeting this one?
It don't matter. At this point,
I was gonna say, if you say the network, I'm like, there's like one person I can name. I think everybody's been on this fucking podcast. You got 42 podcasts. Everyone's been on them. I can't name anybody. I gotta name like Obama or something. Like,
hey, just honey roast some damn body. I don't care.
All right. No, I think I've said this on a few other podcasts, but the dude I want to shout out is this guy Drew Korb. And so Drew is a comic. He did what's the improv group that used to tour? I forgot what they're called, but he did that. It was like this famous improv group that used to tour for like 20 years. And he became an agent. And so the reason I'm shouting him out is because this dude, when I was 8 months into stand-up, he was running an open mic in Chicago. He lives in LA now, but he was running an open mic in Chicago with a friend of his. And then I would go to that mic every week and just like bomb. And, you know, just keep getting better. But I would go with new shit. I would try. It was like an unknown open mic at Finley Dunn's up north.
Oh, wow.
In Chicago. And then the guy calls me. This is, like I said, 8 months into stand-up. He calls me and he's like, hey, I got a show. We're doing a show at this Finley Dunn's place where we do the mic. And he's like, you want to open? We got a big guest coming through. I can't tell you who it is. And I was like, this is my like second show. So I was like, yeah, of course. I'm not going to say no. I'm like, but you know what? I'm busy that day.
Yeah, like, I'm good.
So he doesn't tell me who it is. And then the day before the show, he calls me up. And I knew he was an agent, but I didn't realize, like, I thought he was like more local. And he's like, yeah, it's Roarwood Jr.
Is
the guy we got.
Oh.
And he's like, we can't advertise him because he's, you know, a lot of, if you don't, when you get to a certain level, you can't be necessarily doing like local shows with like club shows. There's a lot of stuff going on. So basically secret headliner, but Roarwood Jr. was just popping off. He was just on The Daily Show at this point.
Yeah.
And he's like, we want you to do 7-8 minutes up top, just open the show right. And then we're going to basically let Roy run his hour because he's going to tape his first Comedy Central special like a week later. So I go to this room, dude. This is 60 people packed into the Finley Dunn's back room, which is tight. It's like, the stage is like this big, and you're in the corner, and you're like surrounded by people. And I had like one of the best sets in my life at that point because it was just, I couldn't fuck it up. It was like, you know, it was so good. The energy was so right. And that, he recorded, they filmed the whole show in like 1080p. So I got this clip out of it. That clip and that credit got me into 10 comedy festivals.
Wow. I think
that literally. So that I credit him because without him, first of all, thinking of me, and then also Roy meeting him, making that contact got me into other things, and still like all this other shit happened from that. So that dude is like, deserves all the props. And people don't know, and he's also an incredible comedian. Like he's so funny, but he's also one of those dudes that's just like, I don't need to do stand up for a year and I can go on stage and just be kill it. Like he's just that good. But because of his improv of 20 plus years of doing improv. But that dude is like, I credit him for my success and putting me on the map. Because that was all the Team Us stuff was starting. The Roarwood thing happened. All the festivals. And then I was like, now I'm like now they know who I am, but it was just because of like these moments like that. So you don't get those moments that often, but that dude deserves the biggest shout out, Drew Corb.
Man, Drew, that's one hell of a, that's a hell of a plug. That's actually a really good plug. Wow, 10 festivals on one thing. Man, look, D-Lou, we always say, I always say, man, you never know. Me and Sarah, we sit here. You never know who you're performing for. You never know. Always always go balls to the wall, man. You'll never catch me lacking on the show. Promise you that. I know you won't catch Drew, Vic lacking either, man. So, y'all.
Don't phone it in, man.
Don't phone it in. You never know who's in the audience, man. You never know.
Also, there's something about if the show is trash and you're the only person who has a good set, you're like, okay, that's something about that. You know, there's something about that where you're like, there is still potential. Turning a room is almost more fun than killing in the room that's already good.
Yep,
like,
yep.
That is a much harder thing to do. And if you can do that, like, I mean, I did done some shows at places like Shakers.
Yeah.
You know, the Underground Lounge, places that comedy goes to die.
And I was like, you know, like, that's,
and the place like that, and you have a good set in those rooms, you're like, man, I could do a funeral.
I could do, yeah, right.
Man, I've died already. Yeah.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Hey, that's a good point. Man, this has been fun, man. We love having you on there. Vic, you know, we love you to death, man. You want to go tell people where they can find you and where they can come follow you? Get the merch, get
you
the book.
Got the book. You can get the book. It's on my Instagram at Vic Pandya, just my name, just at Vic Pandya. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, it's all that shit. You can see all my shows on my Facebook page. I pin them all up there. Live shows are finally back in the city, so I'm done with states like Indiana and Wisconsin for a minute. So I'm kidding, man. I like those. I had fun.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to pay me to come to your town and make fun of your racism, I'll do it. So, you know what? I'll do it. I'll take that burden.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny, man. Now, there it is. Vic Pandya, everybody. Make sure y'all go follow him. Make sure you go listen to him. Get the book. Listen to Why You Basic, a self-actualization show on Be Positive Radio Mondays at 8 o'clock.
I think the next podcast you guys need to have is a pronunciation podcast.
Boy, hey, look.
This will be...
look, we had that all season three, and look, we still... Yeah, we did that.
In the promo that you pre-recorded, you had that. And I was like, man, these guys are meta with this shit.
Yeah,
they're fucking this up on purpose.
Yeah. This is a... It's a thing now. It's a thing.
That's why he hated it.
I hate that. Yeah, I hate it. So bad. D-Lou, you want to...
I like how you made him keep it in, though.
Yeah, I...
That's real.
The funny thing is I forgot to change the shit.
It's a partnership.
I forgot to change the shit. I should have did... Whatever, man. hey, D-Lou, you want to go ahead and give final thoughts on?
Man, I think this is one of the most insightful chapters that we got from a whole perspective of entertainment, I would say. I mean, we talked improv, we talked comedy, we talked booking, we talked starting your own show, producing your own show, we talked Zoom shows, we talked corporate shows. So I think this is a good chapter to go back and listen to. A couple of things I can take away is that, man, look, opportunity comes in many different forms, many different forms. So I would say if you're out here grinding, man, don't miss opportunity. Don't miss your beat. Another thing I like that Vic said, he said, I'm not best friends with everybody, but I'm cordial with everyone. Man, look, you got to put yourself aside, man, and be cordial with everybody because you never know who hand you're shaking. You know what I mean?
Never know.
Hey, you just never know. You know what I mean? There's always going to be somebody in the room that's watching. You know what I mean? And like I said earlier, if people who really connected the dots, man, you'll be able to get something out of what we're trying to do as Be Positive in general. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to look and see, hey, look, we got shows at my buddies on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and then look and see that, you know, one of us is at Zany's, and then we're all at Laugh Factory and not be able to connect those dots. Like, don't be foolish. Like, just don't be foolish. You know what I mean? Another thing, create your own lane. If it's not working for you, make it work for you. You know, however the best you can. And we take Vic as a perfect example, man. The pandemic shut everything down. What do? You adjust it. Zoom shows, corporate shows.
Killing it, too.
He coming off the most lucrative year that he had. We can go back years and team us and starting their own shows and taking advantage of, you know, creating their own opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So look, you can't be scared and be fearful to step out and do something like for yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I got a lot. Like I said, this is the first chapter. I took some notes, which is kind of crazy.
Hey.
So
that was a great summary, man. I was like, no wonder he writing this shit.
Yeah. I mean, so shit.
Hey,
send me the minutes later. Send me the minutes later. You know. You know, like
boardroom shit,
man. But man, hey, he hit the nail on the head, man. And coming from, you know, D. Lou is we movers are shaking now. I'm on the ground now. You know, with the producing shows now. So, you know, that's this is real good for, you know, me. Kind of helped me get my mind right, and then D. Lou, I know this is he always been taking notes. Actually, this whole season, really, almost every chapter has been very informative. So, man, we thank you, man. We thank y'all for listening, tuning in. Chapter 46 is in the books. Hey, what's up? What's up?
Man, you've been waiting to say that.
I've been waiting. I'm so happy I got that one pulled off.
Taking detailed notes, and Darl, like, I got this book line.
Hey, look. Hey, man. I was ready for it, man. Look. Hey, y'all, stay up, man. Look, I don't know when you listen to it, but at the time of this recording, next week, a week from today, is March 2nd, y'all. Time is flying, man. Don't waste it on nothing, man. Get out there and have some fun. I know Chicago's starting to open up. If you listen to anywhere else, I hope y'all opening up and being safe out there. But let's get after it, man. The weekend is almost here. Y'all, let's have fun. Y'all stay positive. Follow Be Positive, man. We got a lot of shit going on, man. a lot of shit.
I'm going to say one thing before we get up out of here, man. If I don't promote shit else, I'm going to say this. March 25th, make sure you get your tickets. You can find the link. My bio, Dario bio, TJ bio, Robbie Eunice, Be Positive Productions, Your Mama's Productions, whoever's house.
Your Mama's Productions.
I thought that was real. I'm like, these guys got so many Facebook posts. They're like, hey, in 2 years, we might have an idea, Yo Mama Productions at Be Positive Productions. Yeah. Like, they're stealing everything.
Yeah.
There's no URLs left in sight. You taking every URL. Your Squarespace bill might be to the roof, man. You're taking
y'all, that's funny.
Make sure you get a ticket, man. If you rock with us, 325 good vibes.
Hey, I'll be at that after party for real. I know it's gonna be after party.
Oh yeah. We got people coming from Wisconsin. Gonna be in the house. We got people coming from Indiana that's gonna be there. Yeah, we partying, y'all. So we party. Also, my love, you know. Come out next Wednesday. Hey, look, no.
I wouldn't even go say nothing about a Wednesday show.
I'm just saying.
I wasn't going to say nothing.
Come out. Wait, this is live, right? We got to tomorrow to my buddies.
Yeah.
Come to Zany's.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Vic.
Yeah.
Be
come.
Be the mediator, because we get in competition next
week. No. Just there's a.
Well, are you doing? Wait, let me ask you this. Are you doing two shows next week, though?
Yeah. Starting tomorrow.
My buddies.
Yeah.
Yep, my buddies is two shows next week. Every first and third Wednesday we'll do two shows. Okay. But we just happened this week is the first show that we wanted to like test run and
Yeah.
That's fire. Damn.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, you got options. You want up north or like less north?
Yeah. Man.
You got options, you know. Yeah. You want Zany's? You want to see Vic's headshot? Go to Dario's show.
You know, let's go.
No, man.
Let's.
You want to see a drink with Vic's name? Go to my buddy.
Yeah. You know, right? What's up? Mess with us. Be positive.
My presence is there.
Yeah. Man, we all over the place is what we try to tell you, man. Thank y'all for watching, listening. Vic, we love you to death, my man. We're going to continue to do what we do. D. Lou, as always, love you, my man. Everybody else out there, y'all be positive, man. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Who gonna stop me, huh? Who gonna stop me, huh?